Okay, are you ready? We're ready. We're preaching the sermon series on It's Your Choice. It's your choice about everything. God blessed us with this blessing of being able to choose things in our own life. And we talked about that we choose good things, we choose not so good things at times, unfortunately. And sometimes we look back and we say that old familiar thing, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And other times we look back and we say, wow, I did good. Thank you, Lord, right? Thank you, God, for what you did. And the first week we talked about this one thing. We had a sermon series about choice, and I talked about this one thing. And Paul specifically speaks of in his word. I'll read it in a second. He identifies one thing, and that one thing that he identified, because other writers identified other things, but they isolated it on their selection, their choice, their decision of this one thing. And Paul, in the word, says, my one thing was, I'm not going to look back there. If you remember that a couple of weeks ago, he says, I'm just not going to look back there anymore. Why? Because Jesus is up here. You know, Jesus is not going to be back there in some old stuff. He gave me the blessing. I'm looking forward, and I'm going to find out what God has ahead of me, right? And let me read you a couple quick scriptures. Philippians 3:13 says, in this one thing I do, I forgetting what is behind, I strain for what's ahead of me. We talked about that in week one. We also talked about Psalm 27:4. The psalmist says, one thing I ask God for. This is what I'm asking for, he says. The one thing I seek is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is one big thing there, right? I seek heaven because I want to spend forever and ever in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Luke 10:41 is the great story that I talked about. But Jesus is going in the house of Mary and Martha, right? And Martha's running around doing all these things and trying to prepare for the Messiah is walking in and coming and sitting and having dinner with them and whatnot. And Mary decides she's going to just hang out at Jesus' feet and listen to everything he had to say. And Martha got a little upset about that. We talked about that last week. And she kind of looked at Jesus and said, what's up? Why am, you know, what is going on, Mary? Why, you know, and there's a dialogue there in Scripture, Luke. And the dialogue is, Jesus is kind of like, okay, you know, you're doing all this preparation. You're doing all these things. But this one thing, Mary's got over on you. She's here listening to me while you're doing all the prep. The prep's great, but the Bible says what she is doing is greater. And we talked about following Jesus last week, eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, the beginning and end of all things. We talked about that last week, right? The scripture that we talked about to follow Jesus, Mark 8:34, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, pick up the cross, and follow me. We keyed on that scripture last week, that there's a process there. Wednesday night, we dove deeper into that on a Wednesday night deep dive and talked about that. We'll continue that this week and move on to what we're talking about today. And how they just had to do this process, deny themselves. We have to deny ourselves. Then we have to pick up our cross. That means sacrifice. That means death. We got to die to us and move forward to what God wants and follow him. See, that's the process we talked about last week. And then I reviewed with you how that translates to God's church. We went through five things last week. The steps in the church that we see, people following the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the first choice they make is they come and see. They come and check us out, right? We have visitors today, maybe, that are just checking us out. They come to see. They come to see. What's the commotion? What's the word I'm hearing? What everyone's talking about? What's going on? God's moving at Calvary. The church is growing. Things are happening. Come and see, right? Then they join us. We talked about that. They join in, right? The third thing, the choice was, they come and grow with us. We have people in the service today that have said, hey, I'm going over there because God's called me over there to grow with them. Right? And then others are here, and they come, they serve. They serve. Others are in various stages of this, right? You saw those serving today, right here. They're serving. And they're serving our kids. You saw all the kids. That's just Wednesday night kids. That's not all the kids, but that's the Wednesday night kids here. And they're serving. the Calvary house. And then the last thing we talked about is they commissioned themselves to come and die with us. They're staying. They're staying here because they believe that this is the church for them, or any church where people go. They stay, they die that church. They are committed to stay there because God told them to. God moves people around. They move pastors around. They move people around. But there's those that are just committed. They say, this is what God's told me to do. And we talked about that last week. But today, we're going to move into my choice to be a blessing. And I got to be honest with you, church. I was preparing this service and praying, and I do admit I spend a lot of time on my services. I just want to make sure I'm hearing from heaven and preaching the word. And so I was doing that, and God started to stir in my spirit, you know, that's not exactly what I want from you on this day. And I had like, I thought it was really good, you know. God, it's really good. I'm focused. I'm dialed in. And he said, no, I don't think that's what we're going to do today. And, you know, when preachers go through this process and God starts speaking to us that way and says, we're going to change it up, it's kind of hard on us because we have to kind of start back from the beginning and redo stuff. So here I go. So, okay, God, what is it? And it's amazing because when God's speaking and you're listening and being obedient, it flows really good. It's not as a chore as you sometimes feel. And I thought, God, I have it all done. It's good. It's going to get better. So, okay. So I said, God, what do you want to do? He said, well, he leads me through this process. I went to Nicole. I said, I can't believe he changed this. Did I not say that? God, what are you doing to me? So there's something here that's going to happen today that I was never clued into until this past week. Because I had my sermon series all laid out. I was good. I'm putting this together. It's good. This is a different. So I'm going to go through it and go with it. And I'm going to do exactly what God's called me to do. Now, when I was growing up, you know, I got a concept drilled into me by my mom. And this is something that had to be done in our home. It was mom, my brother, and I, very small family, always in church. The house is open. We're there. And she drilled this concept into my head. And that is, we will bless others. I can't say that I really understood it back then. I was only 6, 7, accepted Christ when I was 9. I went to the altar when I was 9. But I was getting it because mom was a praying mom, and mom was a believer, and mom had us in the house. And she was instilling in me, to this day, I get it, more so than ever. So when God started laying on my heart some changes here, I really started saying, wow, I kind of understand that. And mom instilled this. You as well, many of you would say, I grew up in a Christian home. Mom and dad would ever instill this, grandma and grandpa's. And if you didn't, you're here today to hear what God is all about. What he is, how he is, how he moves. But today we're specifically going to talk about how he blesses others through me and through you. And then how that blessing ends up coming back to you because you were obedient to bless. Now there is a biblical concept mom taught me. And so as a youngster, I would start blessing others and seeing, but I wasn't doing it to get something in return. That wasn't the message. The message was, you do it sacrificially. But God honors that obedience and blesses you back. And that is how I grew up. That is a concept. And then when my mom got very ill when I was in high school, very ill, and she was bedridden, in a hospital bed, and I was the only one there to take care of her, that I got it. I was blessing her back for blessing me. It was an amazing concept. I want to talk to you about that blessing today. I want to teach a little bit about that blessing today. I just want to preach about blessing others, getting blessed back, but we don't bless to get blessed. We bless because God's called us to bless, but he rewards the blesser, right? He does. I am living testimony of being blessed and the rewards of blessings back, and you'll hear more about that here in a second. But years ago, when I was serving on the board of an Assembly of God church, I wasn't a credentialed minister. I was just a young kid serving. Then my mentor, Brother Dave, who's gone to be with the Lord, brings this concept to me that changed my life. We were in a board meeting, and I was starting to feel the call the ministry call, and I knew that if I went down that road, I wouldn't be able to serve on the local board and do lay ministry, because credential holders are not allowed to serve on boards and whatnot. They're ministers now. And I was talking to my fellow board members, but I specifically talked to Brother Dave because he was my mentor. I identified with him, and he was older, and he was teaching me and the things of God, and I was serving on the board, and he was just my mentor. And one day I was telling him after a board meeting, I said, you know, God's really laying this on my heart. I don't think I could deny it much longer. And I said, you know, I'm certainly not looking to get money. I just want to go and preach, and I don't know what that means. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know. I just didn't know. But I said this to him. I said, it's not about money. I don't want to go out. And it just wasn't. It wasn't a money thing. I just said, I want to go out and preach at churches throughout the state or whatever God says for nothing, for no money. He says to me, well, that's really admirable of you. And I thought that was really cool. I thought I was doing a good thing. And Brother Dave, who is the wisest man I've ever known on the face of the planet, rarely spoke, but when he spoke volumes. And Brother Dave looked at me, he says, if you do that, you may rob God's people of the blessing. He said, explain that to me more so I get it. He says, because they want to give. Because they get blessed when they give. And then the light bulb went on in my head. No, church, I'm not coming to this big appeal for you for money today, so rest assured. Okay. But I'm going to teach you a concept about money and teach you a concept about blessing. But we're not going to ask you for money. We'll challenge you maybe at the end of the service to get blessings. But he laid this on my heart, and it really rattled me. Till this very day, it's in my notes, it's in sermons, it's ingrained in who I became as a person. Mom laid the foundation, Brother Dave smacked me, which mentors do. Mentors teach and mentor. We have mentors in this congregation today. They teach and preach and help people along the way. I mentor a young man right now who's 39 years old, and he says, I live today, and I'm alive because you mentor me. Brother Tim. Brother Tim will probably show up here one day. He moved back from Oklahoma. He's going to come over with his kids. What a great story. Don't rob God's people of their blessing. That rattled me. So God comes to me, knowing all this foundation. He comes to me this last week, and I'm going to preach this ending, you know, this blessing. And he says, why are you robbing Calvary of their blessing? I said, whoa, wait a second, that's kind of heavy. Why am I going to rob Calvary Church people of their blessing? And I really didn't get it. I get it today, church. I get it today. And that's kind of got in me. I see God all over this church. It is amazing the blessings God is. And then God comes back to your pastor and says, why are you going to rob the people of their blessing? When I'm blessing, why are you going to take that away from them? I said, okay, God, I won't do that. So hold on. You know, God lays the scripture on me in Romans 8:31. And you know the scripture really well. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know? If God is for us, who can be against us? I'll tell you, nobody can, but you can find people that will try to intervene and upset God's will as he moves forward. And I didn't want to do that. So when God started saying to me, I am doing this, I am moving forward, in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's an army, church. That's an army. God's army. Right? That's powerful. We'll go to Romans 12:2, and we'll read some more as God's laying on my heart some blessings, and he's moving on my life to start. Romans 12:2. I'm not sure if there it is. Romans 12:2. Let's read it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means there's a change happening in my thought process. Exactly what happened this past week. I'm not focusing in on the world, but I'm going to, you know, I read that scripture. Here's how I read that scripture. I say, do not be conned and formed into the world. That's kind of how I see that. Don't be conned, right? Because it is. I want to make sure That when I move forward with God, I'm moving exactly the way he wants us to move, in the exact process he wants us to go, right on a straight line. I just don't want to do this thing. Right? I just don't want to go back and forth with God and say, well, I just want to hear from heaven, preach the word. I just want to hear from heaven and move forward with God once. It's all I want. It may not be exactly what I think it should be. It may not be exactly what you think it should be. But if it's God moving on our hearts, the army of God moves us forward. And here's what he started laying on my heart. You know, he started telling me these concepts like a mind stretched never goes back to its original size. You know, when I look at the word, and everything God did was big. He's a big God. And everything he did was big. Big stuff. Think about what you know about the word today. God's not a little God. God's a big God that does big things. Big things. Big blessings. Big movements. God moves. Why would it be any different today? It shouldn't be any different today than it was. It should be better. Because the Bible says Jesus left us with bigger things to do, more than he did. Big things. God, big thoughts, big ideas, big dreams, big callings, just overall big things. Why? Why does he do that? Because we are called to exhibit God's greatness. Let me read a quote from my wife. She didn't know. She doesn't know anything about my sermons. I don't tell her. She asked. I said, no, I'm going to tell you. I want her to hear them. Here's a quote from my wife. The bigger the task, the more glory God gets. How many times have you said that? We would talk and pray and say, that's big. These are big visions. These are big movements. This is what God's calling us. It's big. And she says, the bigger it is, the more glory God gets. That's what I want. That's what I want. Give God the glory. Here's a quote from your pastor. God, give us things that are so big that everyone would know it was you. Because there's ain't no way, bad English, but good preacher, there ain't no way it could be us because it's just too big. No man parted the waters, church. No man throws rainbows in the sky. No man does these big things that God does. The Lord of hosts does the big things. God's people pray and walk into it, but God himself does it. The blessings are poured out because God himself moves in action. We make choices, which are opportunities. Remember, the scripture says a choice is an opportunity to be a blessing, and then in turn, God sends his blessing on us. Right? I want to tell you a story about a family I knew years back. Probably one of those families, I got to pick up my water before I. Probably one of the stories that you've heard. There's this family from many years ago, way before I was preaching. And great family in the church. They did everything. This is years ago. This is years ago. And they were very financially blessed. Life was good. Well, I didn't know anything about their personal situations, right? But they were blessed. But something happened, and they got their finances messed up. Jobs were lost, debts, what have you, whatever. Just life, right? And they would start coming to the church in need. People come to the church in need. We're there because we're a family, right? And then the confession came, because confession is good for the soul, right? The confession would come to the pastoral team and the leadership and says, well, listen, I've never invested into the kingdom. I never gave. Ooh, okay. I never gave a dime. I never invested in the house. Well, I'm a board member. I don't know those things. Maybe the pastors know. I don't know. I didn't know. I never blessed the house. So now I feel horrible to come ask for something from the house. We blessed. Because we knew that was the right thing to do. We just gave. We gave whatever we had to give. We fed them. We clothed them. We did whatever we had to do for families, this family. It's the right thing to do. What a concept that was taught, though, that day when they say to you, we've never invested in the house. That was for their benefit, not for ours, because I had no idea anything. That was for their benefit. I'm here to tell you, I'm not talking just financially, I'm talking time. I'm in awe. As we stand here and we watch all these leadership leaders today for our children alone talk about their investment of their time. Those badges that were awarded today were awarded because of their investment of time of those leaders. They blessed those kids, and it was just a blessing for me to sit there hearing how they blessed us back because they got a badge. Are you blessed with that? I am just blown away. It's a blessing. Because there's investment. There's an investment. You know, my wife and I did interim ministry for 11 years before we were called to stay here. And throughout those times, we would never go to a church and ask to be paid. They would offer sometimes what they could afford. And a lot of times this concept of don't rob God's people of their blessing, and they would give us something. You did the same thing here, which is very kind of you. Gave us a stipend. We are the ministers. You continue to bless us. But most of the time, we didn't get paid. And God continued to teach us this concept that he would bless us regardless of whatever happened. And at the end of every church assignment, they would take up an offering right there. And we would walk away from those churches, you know, and we would say, wow, what amazing people. Had nothing to do with finances. It was because there's teachings there that people understood. When you sow into the kingdom of God, there's an investment made. And God doesn't rob you of your blessing. But we ended up getting more blessed from them just being them than we ever did by an offering. How many times, dear, did we talk about that? The family of God would take us in as interim pastors, not even the regular pastors, and they would bring us in and love us. And we would be a part of their family for a short time. And we'd walk away how many times, dear, and we'd say, wow, they just blessed our socks off today just because of who they are. You did the exact same thing here. The exact same. So see, this blessing concept is out there. This blessing concept, I make a choice to bless. It's a conscious decision to say, I'm going to be a blesser. It's better to give than receive, right? But God honors the gift. God honors the giver. Not just financially, but time. A small church has a mountain of people that keep it going every day. It's amazing. It's amazing, the people that continue to move the house forward. Jump to Deuteronomy 8:18. Moses speaks to this thing about being blessed, specifically talking blessings. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability or power in the King James Version, the power, the ability to produce wealth. You know, as I'm going through my interim pastoral ministry, you know, and we're not getting paid, but we're investing a tremendous amount of time. God blessed my wife and I outside of the church. It was unbelievable. God would bless my job, my private business. God would bless the Coles job. As we continue to labor and invest and be blessed, God always took care of us. When did he not? Always. He always took care of us. But the scripture says he gives us the ability and power. He gives the ability and the power to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to his ancestors as it is today. There's a covenant of blessing, church. You can't outbless God. I'm not just talking money, but there's some scriptures in here about finances. We'll talk about that in a second. And I'm not making this big appeal for your money. This is not about that. This is about walking in obedience to bless somebody else or the church or whatever and know that God is going to be faithful to bless us back. But that's not why we do it. But every single time in my life that I did that and I lived in the concept that my mom taught me and Brother Dave reaffirmed in my heart, do this and your life will be wonderful. The concept that my wife was taught by her parents who are here today, you can't outgive God. You just give whatever it is, time, money, resources, just do it. Bless the things of God. The number one thing that you want to be involved with is blessing the kingdom. Kids, anywhere, church, outside, ministries, number one thing. It's great to be in other things and other charities, but God wants your gifts and talents in his house. That's the blessing. He honors other things, but first and foremost, he wants to bless you through your blessing to others, right? And today I'm going to ask you to claim that God's not done with you yet. Church, say that with me. God's not done with me yet. I think God's just getting started. God moves and works all the way to the end. He's never done with you. I don't care how old you are here today. God has a purpose for you, and he's not done with a blessing in your life. And he will honor your faithfulness, whatever that is, and your blessing to other people. Watch how it goes. I don't think they have this one on the back, but listen to what Proverbs 11:25 says. We'll show it here in a few minutes. But in the Message version, listen. It says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are then helped. What a process that is, church. To get what you want out of life, you got to give it to somebody else and help somebody else, because that's what God wants us to do. So God uses us to bless others. We are his army on the planet Earth to go out and help others. He uses those that are sitting here today as believers. We're his army. Right? How far will you allow God to go to be dependent on him? And I'm going to, how far do we go? How much do we do? The gentleman that showed up yesterday and tore out our stage in a few hours, I was just amazed. They sent me pictures last night. Pastor, we got this far. What? I didn't even know you were going in today. We took a bunch of guys in. Some didn't even go to church. One guy showed up and doesn't even attend here. Randy brought, I believe. Right, Randy? Give me a shake. Yep. I'm amazed. But see, when God's on the move, people want to be a part of it. And he came in and blessed us. And my wheels are already spinning. How do we bless him back? Because the blessing never returns void ever. But God will take us down a pathway and he'll say, I'll take you. But what is the stopping point for us as believers? How much pain are we willing to endure? Because the trials and the tribulations, the Bible said, will come along. The pain will happen. Just the soreness of the guys today from pounding a hammer or pulling out nails and pulling out bolts and whatever they did and all the work they did yesterday to start the renovations in our other building, they're sore today. That's pain. There's time, right? You're kind of sore. Sometimes we rationalize in our inner self instead of forming our God self. Sometimes we work on who we are as people as opposed to who we should be in God. And I'm just here to tell you today, the blessing can't return void. And it's a choice. The scripture says, if you bless, you'll be blessed. It's as simple as that. It is a choice that we make, right? I'm going to ask you at the end of the service to give your life away. That's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you, and I'm preparing you right now, I'm going to ask you to give your life away at the end of the service. I'm going to ask you to fill out a blessing card that has nothing to do with the church. You're not going to put your name on it. We'll collect them. But I don't want a name on it, so don't put your name on it when we get there. I'm going to teach you and continue to teach you the concept of your relationship with God in being a blessing. And your choice to say, I'm going to give money, I'm going to give my time, I'll do whatever I got to do, I'm going to invest in the kingdom of God at my local church, I'm going to go down to the local soup kitchen and pass out what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up for the food pantry on the second Tuesday of every month. Thank you. I got so much that goes on in the church, I had to stop to think for a second. Second Tuesday of every month, I'm just going to show up and start blessing as more people have done that. I'm going to be a blessing. And then they're coming up to the pastor saying, Pastor, I showed up and I'm being a blessing. And boy, are they blessing me back. That is, thank you for that, GD. That is the blessing. I give not to receive, but God is honoring my giving, so I give back. That's what the Bible says. Luke 6:38 says, you know this scripture, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, I will pour it out into your lap, for with the same measure you use, I will use it back to you. Church, don't do that. Make it heaping and tons. Because that's the measure God's going to use to give it back to you. I just read the blessing scripture out of the message, right, in Proverbs. You will be blessed if you're a blesser. And there's the scripture that says, well, how much do I bless? This much. How much do you want to get back? That's what the Bible says. Very practical message today. Not the message I necessarily was intending, but that's okay, right? I love that scripture. Listen to what the message verse says, Luke 6:38. It says, give away your life. I'm going to ask you to do that. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back with a bonus and a blessing. I stand here before you, testimony from me and my wife and my family that this works. I have been dirt poor. I have been well off. I have been dirt poor. I have been without a meal the next time. I didn't know where it's going to come from. I have been really poor. And this is why God's blessing me. Faithfulness leads to favor, is what the Bible says. Those that are up, I don't want to get in front of my message here. Give away your life, you'll find life given back, but merely not just giving back, giving back with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, right? 1 minute of God's favor, blessed favor, is better than 1,000 years of labor. You could work 1,000 years in labor and get X amount of dollars or X amount of whatever, and just in a split moment, you could be a blessing somewhere somehow, and God will just pour it out to you. Shaken down, right? Overflowing in abundance. But here's the scripture that God really checked me on, that I really got when I listened to my wife talk about how big God's going to move and do things, and He's going to get the glory. It's in Luke 16:10. It's on the screen behind me, I'm sure. Luke 16:10, I'll read in the NIV. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. A mind stretched never goes back to its original size. But God knows who He can trust. With God, all things are possible. Greater is He who is in me than He is in the world. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, no turning back. God's called, God's moving. We're going to do it. We're going to get blessed. We're going to bless because God's on the move. Now, here's this saying that I don't like. Now, my family's going to get on me for this because it's a joke in our family. But here it is. They say it can't be done. Right, mother-in-law? They say. How many times you heard that growing up? Well, they say. Son, they say you can't do that. Oh, they say you can't go that way. They say. Who is they? Show me they. They say you can't bless that much. They say a small church can't renovate a big building like that and move out and fill it. They say they don't know my God. They don't know my blessings. They don't know how I live. They don't know what we're doing here. They don't see God on the move. They will. Because 85 people showed up on a Sunday morning on February 24th and said, I am committed to bless. And God's going to give us a little. And He's going to see if we're faithful with that, and we are. And then God's going to pour out a whole bunch and watch how we are faithful with a whole bunch. And then people are going to stand back and say, wow, how'd they do that? How did they do that? And I'm going to say, we blessed. And we were a blessing, and God's going to give it back to us. Shaken, pressed down, overflowing, right? What is going to happen in your life in the next 6 months is going to just amaze you. Because you're going to end up blessing other people that aren't even here yet. And you're going to watch what happens in your personal life because God's going to honor the blessing. Pastor, how do you know that? I just read it. The Bible says that. Did I not read that? And there'll be the naysayers. They will be out there saying, it can't be done. You can't do that. God's not going to. God will do it because God's a big God. And God's going to move. I'm going to give you a quick little testimony here about my life. Pardon me if I said it before. It just fits. To God be the glory. My wife and I did interim ministry for 11 years. We got to the point where we said, well, okay, God, what's the next season to bless somebody? God said, start putting your resume in the churches so you can pastor. Okay. 2 years go by and we get no calls. I didn't know if my breath smelled. I didn't know if I stunk. No calls, right? Is that not true? What is going on? We waited to move to Canton, Ohio from Salem, Ohio. We said, we're going to wait because God may take us to some other place, and we don't want to make two moves. And the district office calls me and says, hey, what happens you move and you get called someplace else? Will you still go? I said, yes, we'll go. Okay. We got no calls, so we moved to Canton, Ohio. And this fine church calls us to be an interim. But as we were moving, I think I told you this before, but listen to the story. I get a call from Grace Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Paul area, the largest church in that area, and they asked if we wanted to come up there and be their executive pastors. Wow, that's 5,000 people on a Sunday on a weekend. That's a big church. Nicole's freaking out. But we're going to unpack boxes and move up to St. Paul. But I told the district office, I said, listen, if someone calls and they want us to move, we're going to move. So I started interviewing through this process, and it wasn't there. It wasn't there. But God just tested me, see. Tested my wife and her best friend. Said, well, I'll just investigate God's will. You got to be a blessing. And you don't know if you're going to be a blessing up there if you don't start walking through the door and start knocking on the door and be willing. God's testing me. I hate the cold. St. Paul, Minnesota is cold. It's cold enough here. I'm good here. I'm good. But St. Paul is colder. Right? You'll be there in a couple days. It'll be minus five. Yeah. God be the glory, minus five, right? But God did said, you're not going that. You're not. I just wanted to see if you'd be willing to bless them. So I didn't go. And then we got another call. Somebody else knocked on our door, Wapakoneta, Ohio. Bless God. They showed up here in one of my services. I sat in the back, all nine of them. We were like, wow, there's a church here watching us. Because our resume is still out there. The Wapakoneta Worship Center in Wapakoneta, Ohio is one of the premier churches in the Assemblies of God throughout the state. It's big, beautiful, lots of land, lots of people. It's beautiful. It's just great. It's everything that a pastor would want in the natural. So we interviewed. As we started the interview here, because God was kind of stirring on us. And they offered us the pastorate, lead pastorate at Wapakoneta. What a great church and a bunch of great people. Great people. And I said, God, what do you want us to do? And God said, I want you to stay at Calvary and lead them through the blessing. And that's what we did. You know, 5,000 people up in St. Paul was great. 500 people in Wapakoneta was great. Give me 50 people that understand the blessing and want to move forward in the things of God and want to bust out and say, God is bigger than me. I'll run with those people any day. And we're going to do that here. Because God's called. Right? I'm not going to rob people of their blessing. I'm not going to do that. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask for an appeal to give your life away. What does that mean? I'm going to pass out a card. You're not going to fill in your name. I'm going to ask you to give it a a dollar amount that you want God to bless somebody somewhere somehow. It could be the church. It could be somebody out in life. It could be somebody that needs a car. I don't care. See, I'm not asking, but I'm not asking for your name. It's between you and God. I'm going to ask you to turn the card in at the end of the service as you're walking out. Give it to an usher with no name on it. Church, listen, don't fill in your name. This is not about us. This is about you're giving a blessing to somebody. And then it says on there, your time. I'm going to invest time. I'll invest my money and I'll invest my time. Those are the two most valuable things I think some of us have. I'm going to give away my money. I'm going to give away my time. Time is probably more valuable, I think. Fill in their 10 hours. Fill in their 20 hours. Fill in their 100 hours. Fill in their 5 months. Fill in their 3 years. I don't care. And I don't want to know where it's going, and I don't want your name. This is what God's going to do for you and open up the window of opportunity, the Bible says, choice of where he wants you to invest your blessing and give your life away. If it's here at the local church, great. If it's not, okay. But it's somewhere. And you're all going to get that opportunity. And I'm going to go back to Proverbs 11:25 and read this again. As you're thinking about what I just said, it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. We just read that in the message. Remember, I said the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped themselves. Listen to what the American Standard Bible says. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. The Amplified Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, it says, the generous man is the source of blessing, shall be prosperous and enriched, and he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity of others when he sowed the seed. The Easy to Read Bible version says this. It says, give freely and you will profit. Help others and you will gain more for yourself. Be a blessing. Move forward. The Common English version says, generous persons will prosper. Those who refresh others will there themselves be refreshed. Do you see what the word's teaching us? Invest somewhere. Put some dollars behind it. Put your time behind it. Put your effort behind it. Be a blessing. Anywhere. I'm not making an appeal for your money. The Living Bible says it is possible to give away and become richer. I am the living testimony with my wife and her family of that concept. Give it away. God will just give it back. More so than we gave away. The Modern English says, Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered also himself. Wow, that's just powerful, church. So I'm going to ask our musicians to come back. We might run a couple minutes over, so please forgive me. Please forgive me. We are here today to do something so big that people will know we had nothing to do with it. I want to do something today so big that the community will know that we had no way of doing it because it's too big. And I just want you to make a personal commitment with your Lord, thy God, that says, I'm going to invest some finances someplace, or I'm going to invest my time someplace. I'm going to bless somebody somewhere somehow, my local church or what have you. And I'm going to have you fill out on a card that says, I'm going to bless somebody, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I'll have you pass those cards out to the back when you leave. Hold on, gentlemen, because I'm going to ask you to give your life away today here in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. Let's read it together. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will be abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, blessing. Their righteousness endures forever back. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food, and also the supply and increase your store of seed, and that will be enlarged through the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. You cannot outgive God. And through our generosity will result in what? Exactly what my wife preaches. She says, glory and thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? 2 Corinthians 9:9-11 in the message says this, 8-11, my in the message part, pardon me. God can pour on the blessing in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what he needs to be done, but one psalmist puts it like this. He throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. In a couple of minutes, church, I'm going to ask you to throw away, give away your life for Jesus. Right amounts to do in time and finances, whatever, and just be ready to bless. God told me he would lay on the hearts of the people whatever that dollar amount is. It's not a gift to the church. I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking for you to get blessed. I'm asking you to make a choice today with your finances or your time or whatever to be a blessing wherever God lays on your heart to be the blessing. That's it. I want you to throw caution to the wind and say, God, I will do whatever it takes. One of the core values of Calvary Church, whatever it takes. See, God laid this on my heart and I got it. Whatever it takes. God, I'll do whatever it takes, God. His right living, the psalmist said, right giving ways never run out and they never wear out. I want you to decide today, church, that God's not done with you. I want you to do something so big and so bold and so out of character maybe for us because we're living in this natural and this human. I want you to do whatever God tells you to do to give your life away. Somewhere, somehow, to bless somebody somewhere, the church. I don't care. I want you to get blessed. That's all this is about. I want you to make the choice that you're going to get blessed today. It's my choice to follow Jesus and be a blessing. It's my choice to follow Jesus and be a blessing. If God is for you, who could be against you? Right? The gentlemen here are going to start passing out a blessing card. This is just a card. Gentlemen, come forward. It just says, Calvary Church, it's my choice to be a blessing. Today's date, financial faith promise, time faith promise, anything you want to put on this card. Families, just take one. When you leave, you'll just pass it back out to the usher when you walk out the door. Or keep it. That's up to you. I don't care. Whatever you feel led to do. Do not put your name on this, church. Do not put your name on this. Do not put your name on it. This is just a reminder. I just want the cards to pray over them. I ask you to remember whatever you write on them, but I want the cards to lay on, to give to the prayer teams and us to pray over these cards. The church leadership is going to pray over these cards. But if you feel led to keep it because you want a reminder, you can do that too. My wife's going to sing a song. As she sings, fill out your cards.
Give myself away, so myself away so you.
I just believe God's going to do some amazing things so big that everyone's going to know that we had nothing to do with it. Church, when you leave today, just deposit your cards with one of the ushers on the door. If you want to keep them, again, please keep them. But we just want to pray over them. Again, no names. We just want to pray. The leadership just wants to pray the blessing for you today. Stand with me as we conclude our service. I thank you for your time. I think God's on the move here at Calvary. We're going to go out on that song. If you want to continue and stay and pray and worship, do that with us. But Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We call down the blessing upon these fine people, Lord. We will go out into the community. We will bless whoever.